the secret to a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and have them as close together as possible. Of course, that brevity doesn't diminish the message, and nor its content, so we'll look and see what happens. How many of you last week thought of heaven? How many thought of the other place? As Christians, we should think of these two places. Else, why are we here? The Bible is brief on the subject that we want to talk about this morning. But I want to share with you a few of the facts of my research on the subject of heaven. Adam brought us a lesson a couple of weeks ago on heaven, the resurrection of heaven, and did a great job. And we talked about these two lessons before he left for Africa. And he says, as much as we can talk about heaven, we should do it. While we have many joys in this life, growing up, going to school, learning, we enjoy our families, our birth of our children, company with fellow Christians, many physical blessings. We have beautiful homes, beautiful cars, refrigerator is full. We're free to fly around the world if we want to. Send our kids to colleges so they'll have good lives. I've been with this congregation about 40 years. And believe me, I know most of all of you, almost all of you, the regulars anyway. And I know a lot about your prosperity that God has blessed you with. Not only the physical blessings, but the freedom to worship without fear, the freedom to tell others over the internet, our neighbors, our fellow workers, our schoolmates, about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have that freedom. A lot of countries don't have that freedom. Spiritually, we are freer than anybody else in this world because we have the hope of heaven. You've heard the expression, a drop in the ocean. But from what the record says, our joys on this earth is like a drop in the ocean compared to the life in heaven. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. One source says that the word heaven is mentioned 418 times between Genesis 1:1 and Revelations 21:10. I don't really know. But that's enough times to lead me to believe that heaven's important. You know, I don't like surprises. I've had a lot of surprises. This church has given me a lot of surprises. Birthday, retirement, etc. And I enjoyed all of them. Wasn't expecting them. But I've never lacked surprises because I like a plan. I like to know what's going to happen. And of course, we don't know what's going to happen the next 20 minutes as far as God is concerned. But as far as man is concerned, we should have a plan. This morning, let's briefly look at some of the questions and answers revealed in the scripture about heaven. First, where is heaven located? What is heaven like? Who will be there? How long will I be there? Why do I want to go there? These are all questions that we should think about. Especially being Christians for a while, these things should be on our mind. Otherwise, why are we here today? Where is heaven located? Heaven is a real place, the Bible says, but we don't know much about where it is. The scripture teaches that it is a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go, you will be able to come with me. But we know that heaven is up, because the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, chapter 12 and verse 2, excuse me, that Paul was caught up into the third heaven, up into the third heaven. So we know from that scripture, heaven is up. Jesus was taken up into heaven, Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The Lord looked down from heaven in Psalms chapter 14 and verse 2. The saints will be caught up together with him, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. So we know, excuse me, we know that heaven is up. It is a definite place with a definite locality, and the Lord will let us know where it is when the time comes. Who will be there? God the Father, the Almighty Creator of this universe, will be there on the throne. According to Revelation chapter 4, Jesus, our Savior, who died for our sins, will be there. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 through 14. All of the redeemed will be there. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rahab, Jacob, Moses, and the prophets. The Bible calls them a great cloud of witnesses. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 11, verse 32, and what shall I say more? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, squinched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mightily in war, were tortured, not accepting their deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, the bonds of an imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and the holes of the earth. And these all having had witness born to them through their faith, having not the promise, God having provided some better thing concerning us, that apart from us, they should not be perfect. Those people will be there. Weren't you anxious to meet those people that went through all those trials and tribulations? We haven't gone through that yet. Peter said, you have not suffered unto blood. He was talking to the people in the first century. But he was mentioning about just what we have read here about those faithful people in the Old Testament years ago that went through all these trials and tribulations because of their faith that there was a better place. In the New Testament, we read about the apostles and Phoebe and Martha and many of the Marys. Was it six Marys? I tried to count them once, but I think it was six Marys. Priscilla, Stephen, and many more of the faithful who will be there with the angels and all the faithful in Christ from all times. John said he saw a number that no man could count. How high can we count today? Go up in the trillions, quadrillions. Now this may be figurative. You be the judge. But Jesus says, a few. But if you look at the many people that has lived since 404 B.C., have lived and died all down through all the centuries. That's a lot of people. But Jesus said there'll be a few. Scripture says, from every nation, John saw a number that no man could count. If there are millions of people in heaven, it's still only a few compared to the millions that have lived. What is heaven like? We know that heaven will be a spiritual place because the scripture tells us that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So we know from that we will be changed. The scripture says it. Jesus will appear with a shout, and we will be changed. We don't know what our body will look like, but it's going to be like his body. So we know that we will be changed physically from the physical body to the spiritual body, from the mortal body to the immortal body. We shall be changed in a twinkling of the eye, the Bible says. John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall have a glorious body like Jesus, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. We will be equal to the angels, Luke chapter 20 and verse 36. Through John's vision, we can see the glory of God. And through John's vision, we get a glimpse of heaven's scenery. The writer speaks of the church as a heavenly Jerusalem, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. And Paul also speaks of it as a city that is above, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 26. Hebrews chapter 22, chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come unto Mount Zion and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable hosts of angels, to the General Assembly in the Church of the Firstborn, who is enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the saints of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if we escape not when they refuse him that warned them on the earth, much more shall we not escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as those things that have not been shaken, that those same things that are shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we can offer service pleasing to God with a reverence and awe. Our God is a consuming fire. What will I do when I get there? I used to ride motorcycle, and I went to a store once, and I had my motorcycle cap on, and the young lady behind the desk, the clerk, she says, "You ride motorcycle?" I said, "Yes, I do." "You ride a Harley?" "Yes, I do." She says, "My grandpa rode a Harley, and I know he's up in heaven riding his Harley all around." You see the concept people have of heaven? What will we do there? We're not told what our day-to-day activities will be, but we do know that there will be joys there. In Matthew chapter 7, chapter 25, verse 23, it speaks of the joys of heaven. And so that's all we need to know, that there will be joys there beyond anything that man could ever imagine. Okay, how long will we be there? Well, the scripture teaches eternity. Time was made for man. God has always been eternal. He has no beginning and no ending. Now, we can't understand that. But time was made for man. And so, the Bible speaks of eternal, the time eternal. The Apostle Paul also wrote about, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 6:23. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. "For we know that if this tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we will have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect, their knowledge of the truth, which records with godliness, in a hope of eternal life, which God has, who never lies, promised before the ages began. Again, he writes, "And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life." 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. What do I want? Why do I want to go there? since we have so many blessings in this earth that we have just mentioned, sometimes we have it so good until we don't think of anything better. Sometimes our lives are so well ordered, we're at peace. We don't have anything to worry about. So therefore, it's hard for us to imagine anything better. We enjoy so much prosperity here. And so we have to really concentrate on what the scripture says about heaven and a better place. Why do I want to go there? Only the righteous will be there. We will no longer have to endure the injustices of our society. We spoke about in our Bible class this morning about the laws that our government and governments around the world, that it's a minimum persecution for Christians to have to endure the injustices of our society through our government, like the passing laws of homosexuality and abortion and this type of thing, which is strictly against God's teaching. And Christians, that if that doesn't bother you, I think you need to take a check. This is mental persecution. Now, what we just read about the Old Testament and the prophets and so forth, no, they had more physical persecution than we have. And sometimes we don't even think about the persecution they had because we don't have to go through it, at least not yet. We have many injustices in our society, especially man's inhumanity to man. Nothing that defiles will enter heaven, Revelation 21, verse 27. There will be no more pain or sorrow, no more heartache or disappointments, no funerals, no cemeteries, no more goodbyes. There will be no more wars and no more death. Think of all the crime and the lawlessness that we live with every day, and compare this with heaven, where there will be peace and joy and pleasant associations. There will be beauty in heaven as well. And it tells us a bit about, or a glimpse of the city that is described in Revelation chapter 21. And there came one of seven angels who had seven bowls. They were laden with the seven last plagues, and he spake to me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away into the spirit, to the mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like unto stones most precious, as were a jasper stone, clear as crystal, having a great wall and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That's us. And on the east were 3 gates, and on the north were 3 gates, and on the south were 3 gates, and on the west were 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, on which the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that spake with me had a measure, a golden reed, to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length thereof was a great breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length, and the breadth, and the height. therefore was equal. And he measured the walls thereof, 144 cubits, the measure of by the measure of a man, that is. And the building of the wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto pure glass. The foundation of the walls of the city were adorned with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, and the third will come chalcedony. The fourth was emerald, the fifth was sardonyx, the sixth was sardius, the seventh was chrysolite, the eighth was beryl, the ninth was topaz, the tenth was chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates had 12 pearls. Each one of the several gates was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine upon it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the lamp thereof, the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp thereof. And the nations shall walk amidst the light thereof, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. And the gates thereof shall no wise be shut by day, for there is no night thereof. And we shall bring, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's why I want to go there. I've been with this congregation about 40 years, I said, and I know all of you well, pretty well. And I look forward to seeing you on the other side of Jordan, because you are the people that I like to be with. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Of course, if it wasn't a heaven, Christian life is the best life to live anyway. Keeps us out of trouble, keeps us out of jail, keeps us from crime, keeps us from mistreating our fellow man, because if we live according to God's plan, we will be at peace. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. The question is, are you prepared to go to heaven? A merciful God that has not left sinful man without a guide to get there. This guide is the Bible. Let me share with you a description of this book, God's Guide to Heaven. The author is anonymous, but I always stand in awe when I read it. It says, "This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the soldier's, it is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's comfort, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Herein paradise is restored, heaven is open, and hell is disclosed. Christ is its grand object, our good, its design, and the glories of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given to you in life, will be open in the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the greatest responsibilities, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its contents. It offers protection for infancy, happiness for childhood, inspiration for youth, strength for maturity, assurance for old age, comfort for death, and salvation and riches of glory and reward for eternity. Anybody want a copy of this? Just see me. But I think that is one of the best descriptions of the Bible from an unknown author or from man. It is our guide to glory. In Revelation, we read, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so they may have the right to the tree of life and enter into the city by the gates. Outside are dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest these things to you for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who hears should say, come. And the one who is thirsty should come. Whoever desires should take the living water as a gift. I testify to everyone who hears the prophetic words of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away the words of this prophetic book, God will take away his share of the tree of life out of the holy city that is written in this book. Our guide to God's glory, to heaven, that he has prepared for those that are faithful. It's the Holy Bible, as we just read. We're going to stop there, and we're going to pose the question, are you prepared to go to heaven? If you're not prepared, and from what we've studied this morning, you should be prepared, because certainly you don't want to end up in the other place. So we all know where that is. So if you're not a Christian this morning, you can be a Christian by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing his name, and being baptized. And purposing your life to live a faithful and believing life till the Lord calls us. If you are a Christian, have not stayed on track, if you want to let that be known to the church this morning, we will accommodate you. And if you just need the prayers, the consolation of the brethren, let that be known, and we will also accommodate that. So if you're here today and have a desire or a need, let us know as we stand and sing.